Follow Monmouth Hawks basketball all season long on the Shore Sports Network, News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
We keep rolling along on our Asbury Park Press halftime show. We want to thank former Monmouth Hawk and current Denver Bronco, Tevron Brandon, for joining us here on our Asbury Park Press halftime show. As I'm joined now by Monmouth beat writer from the Asbury Park Press. Not every day you get to follow an NFL player, Josh.
Those are some big shoes to fill. Hopefully I could be as good or at least close to as good as he was.
I'm pretty sure Matt and Tev probably didn't break down first half Matt Coops, probably other stuff. So obviously we're joined by our good friend Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. And while we have Josh here, I'd like to do a couple things. We'll take a look at the first half as well as take a look around the MAC scores on our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. But, Josh, we were just talking a bit before air, and what's your thought right now? Where do you feel this Monmouth team is at? Up just two. They were up double figures for a while. Credit St. Peter's for the strong close of that first half.
Maybe it's just me, but it kind of feels like they're in trouble, you know, just a little bit. They went up 11 really quickly. Deion Jones was being, you know, aggressive. And some of these stats would, you know, they would have you believe that Monmouth was up by, you know, a lot more. They've been doing a nice job on the glass. They've got 8 offensive rebounds. I don't know. St. Peter's kind of turned it on there over the last 10 or 11 minutes of the first half, and they did it without Desi Washington doing much. Monmouth has done a nice job on him defensively. Marvin Dominique has also not been a huge factor. But Kadir Welton, you know, a promising sophomore big man. He averages about 7 points and 5 and change rebounds per game. He had 10 points there in the first half. He was aggressive. He was, you know, all over the glass. He was scoring on a bunch of second chance opportunities. I don't know. It's just not a very good vibe in here right now if you're Monmouth. Again, maybe it's me, but it doesn't seem to be trending well right now.
And if you kind of feel, and again, we're here and we realize that our listeners aren't, but the gym at game time at tip was quiet. Monmouth was off and running. But then as more people started to kind of slowly pack in, St. Peter's seemed to play a little bit better. You mentioned it, Josh. Welton and Jones lead the way for each team, 10 points apiece. Monmouth had a huge rebounding advantage at one point in this half. St. Peter's has closed that gap as well. And until that last Deion Jones bucket, this was going to be a tie game as the Peacocks ended the half on a bit of a run. And they're a team like Monmouth battling for positioning in the MAC tournament. They played that last 10 minutes like a desperate playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly not a must-win for Monmouth. I mean, they're in very good standing right now. They're alone in third in the MAC coming in. And, again, not a must-win, but you win this game, you secure a top-5 seed in the MAC tournament and a first-round bye right to the quarterfinals. Now, they could, you know, certainly, you know, take care of business beyond tonight and, you know, and get that top-5 seed, but you get it tonight. The next week, you're not having to worry about, all right, going to Iona. Then you have a bunch of days off to think about it, and then you have Ryder coming in. Ryder's, you know, very, very quietly a 12-win MAC team, 18 wins overall. So, you know, those are two tough matchups. Not to say that Monmouth can't beat those teams because they already have this year, but if you take care of this game tonight and secure a bye, you're feeling really good about yourself going into Sunday at Iona.
Josh, before, and that's a humongous game, and we're joined by Monmouth beat writer from the Asbury Park Press, Josh Newman, here at halftime. Josh, before we take a look at our out-of-town scores with every game tonight being played at halftime, quick snapshot. I want to see if you agree with this. If Ryder finishes as the 2 seed, and we all think this, Kevin Baggett should be the coach of the year in the MAC. But if Monmouth can finish with that 2 seed, do you give that award to King Rice?
I think that those two guys are on the very, very short list for that award. As I said, Ryder comes into tonight. They're playing Quinnipiac into tonight. 18 wins overall, 12 in the MAC. That's a pretty good season. And to be completely honest, there's no buzz around Ryder. They've been outstanding all season. I know they got swept by Iona. Monmouth beat them, but that's a pretty good Ryder team and not a whole lot of buzz about the job that Kevin Baggett's done. You know, you look at King Rice, you know, they're plus, you know, they're 11-5 in the MAC. They're plus 6 wins in the MAC compared to last year. They've got 4 more wins overall, 11 last year against 11 against 15 now. So Baggett, King Rice, and me personally, I would throw Tim Clues in there too, because against a 20-game schedule, let's say they run the table, they go 18-2, that's pretty hard against a 20-game schedule.
Agreed. He has a lot of talent, but he lost a lot of talent too, so I couldn't agree more. We're being joined by Josh Newman here at halftime. And, Josh, let's quickly run through the other scores in the conference, get your thoughts on what's going on around the league. Up in Albany, the site of the 2015 MAC tournament, Canisius and Siena all tied at 29. Those teams battling anywhere between that 5 and 8 seed right now. And that's a tough 20 minutes ahead of both those clubs up in Albany.
Yeah, both those teams really need it. Siena really hasn't played very well defensively, while Canisius hasn't really played well offensively this year. So, you know, something's going to have to give up there tonight. A tie game and a low-scoring tie game really doesn't surprise me all that much.
Speaking of low-scoring, up in Bridgeport, Niagara leads at Fairfield in a bit of a shocker. 26-16 at the half. Ugly goings up at the Webster Bank Arena.
I think Niagara... Quite honestly, I think Niagara has some pieces. They're young. They're the fifth youngest team in the entire country. It might not happen now, but I mean, I've seen Niagara, you know, 3-4 times now. They certainly have some pieces and a bright future.
I think Niagara is Monmouth last season.
Oh, no doubt.
And I agree. They'll take those similar leaps.
Sure.
As our final out-of-town score, the big game of the night, Ryder leads, at least someone's scoring. Ryder leads at home against Quinnipiac, 41-31. Bronx getting that much closer to win number 19, potentially win number 13 in the MAC.
Yeah, that's, again, there's just no buzz on Ryder. And maybe that's with some fairness. I mean, they got swept by Iona. And, you know, there's not a lot of talk, with, you know, after you get swept by Iona. But it should be noted that Ryder has two wins this season over Manhattan, which, as you know, I'm very high on Manhattan and the job that Steve Maziel has done. So if you find a way to sweep Manhattan, I mean, you're probably doing something right.
I'm sure everyone gets tired of hearing me here because I say I don't want to see any team in the MAC tournament after a while, but add the Jaspers to probably the number two. I don't want to see, if I'm Monmouth, Quinnipiac. Number two, Manhattan.
I think Quinnipiac's a bad matchup. You, I, Steve, Matt, we've all talked about that. Quinnipiac, the way they rebound the ball and the way that they're physical defensively is a bad matchup for Monmouth. But Manhattan, you know, Monmouth was on the cusp up at Draddy a few weeks ago. The second meeting, not so much. Manhattan's probably, as you just kind of noted, is probably in the two or three teams that I just flat out would not want to see if I'm Monmouth.
Josh, appreciate it as always. Catch Josh's great coverage, not only in tomorrow's home edition of the press, on Twitter at Joshua_Newman. Buddy, great job as always.
You got that Twitter handle right, finally. I appreciate it.
It's only taking me a football and
that's
a basketball season.
That's it.
Josh, appreciate it as always. Monmouth in front of St. Peter's 25-23 here at the half at the Anatelli Center. We're back after 30 seconds on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
We welcome you back to the Anatelli Center. Guys, we got through a jam-packed halftime. Former Monmouth Hawk, current Denver Bronco, Tevron Brandon joined us. Monmouth beat writer Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. As I'm rejoined by my broadcast partners tonight, former Hawk Steve Bazaz and former Hawk Matt Harmon on the gridiron. I'm Jess Eddie Acapinti.
No.
Former student
you're
play-by-play
voice,
guy.
You're the voice of the Monmouth Hawks, sir.
Well, right now, gentlemen, happy to say all three of us are. We got 20 minutes of basketball ahead of us with St. Peter's inbounding directly in front of us, moving to our right. What do you want to see out of this Monmouth team over the final 20 to add on and potentially win this tough contest? They lead 25-23.
I want to see them take care of the ball a little better than they did in the last part of the first half. I also think Deion Jones really had it going early on, and then he came out, the subs came in, but I'd like to see them continue to go to Deion Jones, and hopefully he can keep it going because he looked very good attacking the rim.
I give you one, too. Grind it out, because I think these are the kind of games that you're going to expect to play come conference tournament time. It might not be as low scoring as this, but if they're always going to be one possession, two possession types games, it's going to be stress for 40 minutes of basketball. This is almost a tournament-type game for both of these teams, just kind of gearing up with just a couple of games remaining in the regular season.
I would say a lot about the Monmouth Hawks a couple games back going to Siena and winning that game and then coming here to St. Peter's and coming out of here with a victory would be huge. I think it would say a lot about this team.
St. Peter's possessing as they move left to right to begin things here in our second half. Starting lineups look to be on the floor for both teams, and they are. As Gaskins controls, throws to Weich, 18 on the shot clock. Travis Weich from Neptune loses it in the lane. It's a turnover. Max DeLeo comes away with it. Credit Deion Jones' quick hands.
And good start for the Monmouth defense drawing that turnover.
30 seconds gone by in this first half, or rather second half. Robinson throws right wing, Max DeLeo. DeLeo picks up his dribble. They go down low, Zach Tillman. Tillman, nice spin around Welton. Nice pass for Kofani, but Dominique stole it. Better defensive play.
Well, Tillman spun around the defender, but spun himself underneath the rim. Therefore, he had to give it up. Good hands right there by St. Peter's.
The team's trade turnovers the first minute here in the second half. Kick over to Washington. Drives and kicks over to Gaskins now. He'll throw down low Dominique. Finds a cutting Travis White. She goes over to Welton. Welton, a couple of dribbles. Picks up his dribble. 3 seconds the call on Marvin Dominique. It was good ball movement, but too good as Dominique was in the three-second area.
Well, I think Dominique kept waiting for what everybody else is waiting. Welton to put the ball up at some point. I mean, it's, you know, he's down on the block. You've got one opportunity to spin into the lane, one opportunity to spin baseline. He just kind of hung there. Dominique was battling down low with Kofani, waiting for an offensive rebound chance.
And credit Tillman, too, for good, strong defense.
90 seconds gone by, predictably. The score has not changed. It's still Monmouth 25, St. Peter's 23, as Justin Robinson steps inside the arc and knocks down a long two to put Monmouth up four.
A great shot there by Robinson. Off the ball screen, the defender hedges into the lane, so Robinson's able to get all the way to the foul line and then pull up on a dime.
Welton dribble handoff for Gaskins, throws on the right wing. That's where Washington is. Desi Washington, dribble handoff over to White. Flips it over to Gaskins. 12 on the shot clock. Gaskins throws down low to Dominique. Too wide, intended for the St. Peter's big man. Another Peacocks turnover.
Well, that's the defensive pressure that Monmouth needs to do. You know, every once in a while, St. Peter's will throw that ball away just almost without a whole lot of pressure. So if Monmouth can get those and keep the defensive intensity up, they'll be in pretty good shape in the second half.
Robinson finds Deion Jones. Jones from the right elbow grazes the right side of the rim. Gaskins pulls down the rebound. Outlet pass to Travis White. White around a Dominique screen. Now goes back through it. Throws it to Washington on the left wing. Washington drive left baseline. Throws it to Welton. Welton's going to attack the basket. Robinson takes it away from him. Beautiful hands from Justin Robinson. Throws the alley for Max DeLeo too high. As now it's deflected into the arms of Desi Washington. Missed opportunity there for Monmouth. Washington brings it down floor. A couple of dribbles. Throws it top of the key. Gaskins for three. Off the side iron. Rebound is tipped to Marvin Dominique. Offensive rebound for St. Peter's. Dominique finds Gaskins down low. And he's fouled with 17:08 to go in the second half.
Well, credit Justin Robinson on the strip of Welton. And then when he got the ball, he forced a pass to Max DeLeo, a bit of an alley-oop pass. And then Desi Washington comes the other way. Robinson did a great job of hustling back after that turnover, cutting off Desi Washington. But then Dominique was able to get that offensive rebound over Kofani.
Gaskins at the line, Monmouth leading by four. His first free throw is good. The third leading scorer for St. Peter's. Tyler Gaskins shoots 36% from three, but just 56% from the foul line after getting that first one to go.
Always amazed when you see numbers like that. A guy that can shoot so well all over the floor, but when you step up to the free throw line, their struggles the way, you know, 60% and under, that's just not very good for a guy who's really a quality outside shooter.
He goes one out of two. The second one was the miss as Kofani rebounded it. Elias Desport has checked in for St. Peter's. Monmouth lineup remains unchanged. 3 minutes gone by second half. Hawks in front by that three-point number. Deion Jones top of the key. Throws around a left wing swing to Robinson. Robinson down low to Tillman, who dunks it with two hands.
What a great little screen and roll set up perfectly by Robinson. Delayed the pass just enough. Tillman was waiting for it and threw it down with a two-hand jam.
The patience of Justin Robinson as a foul here is called on the ball. Max DeLeo called for bowling over Marvin Dominique with 16:33 to go. It's his first foul, the second on the team.
DeLeo is so hard to play against, a guy who just goes 100% every possession. And like you said, he just kind of barreled into Dominique, got called for the foul. But you love when a guy like Max DeLeo is on your team.
16 minutes, 25 seconds to go in our second half. Monmouth in front, 29-24. Elias Desport hands off to Gaskins. He'll drive left baseline, cut off by Tillman. Throws down low Desport. His righty jump hook is over the outstretched arm of Kofani to make this a three-point game.
Set up pretty well that time by St. Peter's, and Desport doing well to avoid the shot rejection by Kofani.
4 minutes gone by in the second half. Monmouth has added 1 point to their lead. It was two at halftime. They now lead by three. 18 on the shot clock. Justin Robinson, top of the key, throws left wing to Max DeLeo. DeLeo goes down low. Zach Tillman, he wants it. Tillman faces up on Desport, spins in the lane, and he is fouled by Desi Washington. With 15:45 to go, we see Zach Tillman start to assert himself.
Yeah, nice move there by Tillman. He was patient, went with his back to the basket, and then as he spun, pretty unlucky because he spun right into Desi Washington. So unlucky on Washington's part, getting called for the foul there.
Hawks up 29-26, 15:45 to go in the second, and we step out for a 60-second pause here on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
Follow Monmouth Hawks basketball all season long on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Monmouth on top of St. Peter's here at the Yannatelli Center, 29-26 with 15:45 to go in the second half. Good opportunity to take a peek at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. All MAC games going on tonight on the out-of-town board. Canisius leading Siena by a score of 35-29. They're about at the 16-minute break in the second half. Same spot for Fairfield and Niagara, and the Purple Eagles on top of the Stags, 30-21. Second half, about 15 minutes to go. Ryder has opened up a gigantic lead on Quinnipiac, and which is a pretty important game for both teams trying to stay among those in the top five. Ryder 58, Quinnipiac 38.
Back to the live action here at the Yannatelli Center, the modest home of St. Peter's University. It's kind of an old Boylan Gym look to it, doesn't it? Monmouth in front of the Peacocks, 29-26. Tonight's game also being broadcast on ESPN3. That crew just right to our left.
Eddie, it's actually old Boylan Gym. Before Monmouth went to the seat backs, it was bleacher-type seats in Boylan Gym, and you're right, it definitely has that feel.
Yeah, the only non-bleachers are the ones that we're sitting in on press row. 11 on the shot clock for Monmouth. Justin Robinson has it top of the key. Robinson around a screen. Rise fire for three. Way off the mark. Rebound to Tyler Gaskins. He hands off to White. He wants to run with it. Long cross court find to Gaskins. Drives on the baseline. Throws it away. Robinson with the steal. Robinson waits for everyone to join him. Spins at the foul line. Waits for, it's Zach Tillman, so he doesn't want to shoot from there. And he'll give it back to Robinson. Throws it over on the right wing. Deion Jones drives on Desport, and he's fouled with 14:54 to go in the second half.
Always been so amazed as you see Robinson making the defensive play, getting the steal, how fast he is dribbling the basketball. He's one of those guys, he's quick with the ball, he's quick without it, but when he has it, he doesn't really slow down at all, Steve. He just moves at that fast pace all the time.
Yeah, and he's so hard to guard, and he seems to always make the right decision. Off screen and roll, if you hedge hard, he'll split you. If you lay back, he'll pull up for a jump shot. So good with the ball.
Deion Jones pulls up for a jump shot that's blocked by Marvin Dominique. Peacocks come back the other way with 14:40 to go in this half. Desi Washington into the lane, throws down low to Dominique. Dominique has it blocked by Jones from behind. Little one-upsmanship as those two trade blocks against each other. Robinson to the basket is fouled with 14:30 to go in the second half. He'll go to the line for two.
Now go back to that last possession. That block for Monmouth was set up because Desi Washington didn't take a wide open three at the top of the key, of which you would think that he would always do. He has the range, certainly, and the green light. It actually drew John Dunn with kind of that pained look on his face because he drove into no man's land, and Dominique could do nothing but just toss it up. And Monmouth had converged so well defensively to set up that big defensive play.
You're right, Matt. You said it. Dunn threw his hands in the air when Desi Washington didn't shoot the ball.
Why are you not shooting? That's why we have you out there.
Desi Washington in this game is one of three. He's got 3 points. No, he didn't really get going in the game in West Long Branch until very late. Went to the foul line. He was 11 of 11 for the foul line in that game and then hit some big shots late. Maybe he's saving it for the end, guys. I don't know, but he had a wide open look.
Robinson goes one of two at the line. It's a four-point Monmouth lead. One of the better money time players in the league is Desi Washington. We talked about it on our first broadcast. Last year, he defeated Fairfield by himself three times on buzzer beaters. If you're a Stags fan, the last thing you want to see is number 11 in St. Peter's white. As Dominique is off the mark, Chris Brady pulls down the rebound. Monmouth up 30-26 with the basketball. Austin Tillman's into the game. He throws top of the key to Robinson. I'd say Kofani and Dominique have been battling all night long.
Yes, they have.
Robinson, deflected pass, works its way to Kofani. He gets tied up by Jamel Fields on the alternate tie-up. Monmouth will keep it with 13:56 to go in our second half.
It seemed like Monmouth didn't really know what they wanted to do that whole possession. They came down. Brady was just standing at the top of the key waiting for someone to call over to set a screen, and just no flow that time around for the Hawks.
Austin Tillman has to inbounds. Got to get it in. Throws it into Colin Stewart. Deflection here. Desi Washington saves it from going out of bounds. And he saves it right to Jamel Fields. There come the Peacocks down by four. Welch throws down low. Dominique being guarded by Kofani. Little righty jump hook is long. Kofani with a strong rebound. Outlets to Robinson. And he'll slow things down with Monmouth in front, 30-26. 6.5 gone by here in the second half. Quick moving game here in Jersey City. Austin Tillman, dribble handoff to Robinson. Robinson, step back, has Dominique on him now. 12 on the clock. Throws down low Kofani. Kofani kick out to Robinson. He pumps it three. Has 5 on the shot clock. Robinson splits a double team. Austin Tillman, 3. Is off the front of the iron. Jamel Fields on a leak out. One-on-one with Robinson. Kick out Hester. One extra pass. Desi Washington buries it. It's a one-point game.
That's great secondary offense for St. Peter's after a phenomenal half-court defensive possession. The great extra pass by Hester. Washington wide open in the corner. That's good basketball both ends by St. Peter's.
It's a one-point game, 30-29. Robinson. Fields fell down. Kofani pulls up inside the arc and buries the long two.
How about that shot from Kofani there? One dribble to the left hand, pull up on the right elbow. He knocks it down. I think that's one of those, no, 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 yes, great shot. And now Monmouth back into the 2-3.
12:20 to go in our second half. Hester throws over to Fields on the left wing. He goes back to Travis Hester on the right wing, Washington. Hit that last three. Is he starting to heat up? He drives and kicks. Fields, 3 for the tie off the front iron. Austin Tillman with the rebound. Tillman. Errant pass ahead for Kofani, and it goes out of bounds back to St. Peter's. And Coach Rice furious with his freshman point guard.
Now, dare I say, that's a freshman mistake and a bad decision. There's no need for you to have to rush the ball up the court and dump it down when St. Peter's had all 5 guys back defensively.
But it's 2 times now where Robinson threw an alley-oop to DeLeo. That was Errant, and now Tillman to Kofani. Kofani threw his hands up like Randy Moss, but just because you're running the floor doesn't mean that you're always open. And Washington did a great job of banging Kofani just as he was about to jump, threw him off his jump, and the ball went out of bounds.
11:58 to go in the second. Monmouth 32, St. Peter's 29. We're back after a 60-second timeout here on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Fans, tickets are available for the 4 final Monmouth men's and women's home games of the 2014-15 season. You can call 732-263-5735 or visit MonmouthHawks.com for more information on how to purchase tickets. We also want to remind you that Aramark is proud to be Monmouth University's official food service provider.
You know, we're about 8 minutes into this second half, and Monmouth, who at the break had 8 turnovers, they've turned it over 4 more times here. And it's one of those things that it allows St. Peter's to stay in the game. You know, the Peacocks, they've turned it over 13 times, but I think that's somewhat normal for them. They're happy to trade turnovers with teams and hope that you're just going to, at the end, make a little bit more in terms of mistakes to allow them to stick around in the game. And Monmouth has kind of done that so far.
And it's been some unforced turnovers, too. Again, the play right before break, Austin Tillman, just really not a good decision trying to throw that lob pass to Brees Kofani. And those unforced errors can really kill you, especially when then they answer those turnovers with points of their own. Right now, Monmouth does lead in that 10-8 in points off of turnovers. But I would agree, Matt. St. Peter's just wants to continue to grind you out. And when you do them a favor by turning the ball over, it just makes them better and tougher.
11:58 to go in our second half. Monmouth 32, Peacocks 29. By the way, not sure if you noticed, during the break, When's the last time you think Weezer Island in the Sun played in the Anatoli Center?
Good question. Do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, ever, probably. It made me think of summer at the Boathouse, in fairness.
Love that place.
The best. 11:45 and counting to go here in the second half.
Don't know anything about it.
Washington drives to the rim, has his shot missed, and then there's a deflection out of bounds. Monmouth will get it back.
You talked about it before. Every time you see Kofani pop out off of that screen, I'm waiting for the whistle because he never doesn't create some sort of contact. And it just seems like he doesn't have to go as high as he always does.
I agree, and I watched him in the summer, and I was like, this guy is going to be a great asset for the Monmouth Hawks, but I fear that he is going to be in foul trouble in every single game.
Well, here he finishes one down low, collects the pass from Nicholas, and puts it in and an opportunity for a three-point play.
There you go. Monmouth running a nice set for him, getting a screen across the lane. Then Kofani comes across, gets that catch, goes up strong. Not a good foul there either.
And the frustrating thing is, if he's always going to be in foul trouble for the remaining part of, let's say, the regular season and the end of the tournament, he's a guy that's so important to be on the floor. You know, I mean, I know the pecking order, it's Robinson and Deion Jones scoring-wise, but he can rebound. He can block shots. He can protect the rim. He could give you 6, 8, 10 points a night. He's got to stay on the floor and be a little bit smarter once we get to tournament time.
He converts the three-point play. Monmouth now in front, 35-29, as we tick down towards the 11-minute mark. Jamel Fields, top of the key, is fouled. There's another foul on a screen. Andrew Nicholas picks that one up. That is Monmouth's third foul.
Same play, different guy that time around. And I know the coaches are going to argue, you know, you're trying to keep your position and your hands are up. But if you're going to slide and just create that contact at that spot, you're never going to get an offensive foul called against you in that particular spot.
And, Steve, when the coaches are teaching the hard hedge, and I know you're there every day, if you got to beat the man with the ball to a spot. And Red just trailed a little bit too much there.
Yeah, you got to take the correct angle and also be able to anticipate that dribble. Red was just a little bit late.
Good anticipation here from Monmouth leads to a steal for the Hawks. They lead by 6. Nice hands from DeLeo. Colin Stewart open for 3. Off the back iron, off the shot clock. So St. Peter's will get it back. Still a 6-point Monmouth lead. 10 minutes, 40 seconds left.
Well, couldn't have set up any better that time for Stewart. He had a wide open look. Monmouth ran a nice little set, came off, and no one for St. Peter's rolled over defensively to help out. Got to be able to knock those down.
Andrew Nicholas, guys, drawing the assignment of Quadir Welton here. That's only about a, I don't know, 60-pound difference. As Nicholas will play the 4 position with Kofani on the floor. Both Tillman and Brady on the bench. Austin Tillman guards Jamel Fields, top of the key. Fields handoff, Travis Hester. 10 on the shot clock. Hester back to Fields. He drives the lane. Leaves one down low, and Welton is fouled at the rim.
Let's talk about that, Eddie, as you just mentioned. You know, I'll say two things about it. Number one, how far has Red come as a defensive player where you can put him on a big body down inside? But it's either that or he's going to play Dominique. So if you're the Monmouth coaching staff, you're thinking, I guess, Steve, which is the worst offensive option? And it's Welton certainly over Dominique. You're going to take Kofani and put him against the best guy down inside. And without one of the two bigger guys on there, it's really nobody else that can play him other than Nicholas with the guys that are on the floor right now.
I think Nicholas, you try to get by because he's actually, IQ-wise, he's a very good defender. He's typically in the right position, and he'll use a little bit of his savvy to get by, and he'll battle. But with that said, he's still a physical mismatch against Welton because he can just take him down low, and it really puts him in a tough position when he's got a guard like that.
Welton goes 1 of 2 from the line, and then the officials blow a whistle here. I think they're saying Welton has blood on his hand, so he'll have to take a seat. That'll get Hawkins back into the game. Or are they going to wait for Quadir Welton? It looks as though they're going to wait a little bit. 10-11 to go in our second half. It's a 5-point Monmouth game. They're going to let Welton tend to the blood on his hand. I thought you had to get another player in the game if there was blood involved. So the players kind of going to their respective benches here. And they are going to get a sub, and so they'll get Elias Desport into the game for Quadir Welton. And while we have the brief stoppage in play, I want to remind you, fans, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press by visiting app.com/subscribe. Midway point, second half. Hawks in front, 35-30. Austin Tillman dribbles himself over to the left wing. They go down low. Colin Stewart. Stewart picks up his dribble. Tillman gets it back top of the key. Operating with Fields on him around a Kofani screen. Throws it left wing to Stewart. Stewart jumps off in the lane. He's pulled down from behind and fouled in the act of shooting. Nice job by Stewart to get the shot off, and he'll go to the line for two.
So Stewart was driving to his left hand, and Kofani was rolling to the rim and basically rolled right into Stewart's path. Stewart showed off his athleticism by hop-stepping basically around Kofani and then drew the foul there on Fields, and then he'll be going to the line.
And they're going to review the previous play. It didn't seem, and guys, we do have the benefit of TV replay right to our left. It didn't seem like anything malicious in that intent. Monmouth in front 35-30. There's 9 minutes 47 seconds to go. I'll tell you, you know what really battles? The St. Peter's wireless. I'm getting kicked off every 2 seconds over here. The official's going to go to the monitor. And guys, we'll get another look at it here. Steve mentioned it, kind of a jump stop in the lane. It almost looked like someone pulled a chair out from under Colin Stewart. Nothing malicious with that, Matt.
No, definitely not. I mean, just a, if anything, more of an awkward type foul and fall than anything else. But, you know, today's day and age, they'll go over and they'll spend the extra couple of seconds and make sure that there was nothing with bad intent on a foul like that.
Can you imagine if that replay system with Stewart going to the line now was in place in the mid-90s in the NBA?
The Knicks would be a team that would probably lead the league in flagrants, that's for sure.
I mean, they would have been a 15-win team because nobody would have ever been eligible to play. And I'm sure Matt hates every reference we just made.
I love talking Knick basketball. What are you talking about?
Colin Stewart goes 2 for 2 at the line. Monmouth up to a 7-point advantage. Both the Knicks and Celtics are rebuilding.
One day we'll sit down. I'll show you some good old-fashioned 80s basketball, the way that the game should be played.
That's, in fairness, Steve and I grew up in that era, too. And I'll tell you what, I'll watch Larry Bird highlights all day as Marvin Dominique knocks down a foul line jump shot back to a 5-point Monmouth lead. 9 minutes, 20 seconds left in our second half. A low, low-scoring game. Stewart turns it over. Dominique into the passing lane. Weich leads everyone back. His layup is missed. Kofani battles for that rebound with Dominique. And on the alternate possession, St. Peter's will keep it with 9:12 to go in the second half.
And Colin Stewart caught the ball on the foul line around his screen and then basically slipped again, just like he did the previous possession, and threw the ball away, and St. Peter's was able to come the other way.
And we'll head to the bench.
Yes, now, he will.
Matt, you mentioned it. He's allowed the ones. If you're also allowed mistakes if you're knocking down shots. And Colin, who has a couple points tonight, hasn't been as good as he's been the last couple of games. He'll sit down. 5-point Monmouth lead. Hawks back into that 2-3 zone. 9 minutes even to go in our second half. Gaskins drives baseline. He's cut off. Throws it back top of the key to Weich. Weich throws to Dominique inside the foul line. Picks up his dribble. 8 on the shot clock. Cross-court pass Hester. Now to Weich, top of the key. Into the lane. Floating layup is missed, and a blocking foul is called, I believe, on Austin Tillman. Now Jones, the player stepping in, Deion Jones, will get called for that foul.
Unfortunate, because Monmouth did a really good job for 32 of the 35 seconds on that shot clock, and then all of a sudden kind of lost their way on that drive by Weich in the interior. But it didn't look like St. Peter's wasn't going to get anything, certainly from the perimeter. And then Monmouth all of a sudden kind of bails him out with maybe a late step in by Jones.
Weich at the line. Sophomore who's from down in Neptune, obviously Monmouth's neck of the woods, but played at St. Peter's Prep, missing his first one. We just saw the replay. It looked as though if Deion Jones just would have went hands up, probably would have had a better chance at defending without fouling, as Weich makes the second one.
Monmouth leads
37-33, Monmouth in front. 8:40 to go in our second half. Austin Tillman, as Robinson will check in next whistle, controlling top of the key. Dribble handoff, Max DeLeo on the right elbow. Now to Tillman. Picks up his dribble. Throw behind to Nicholas. Gets Hester in the air. Top of the key. DeLeo open for three. Put it in! Big shot for Max DeLeo.
Max DeLeo had 3 points the other night against Marist, and it was a huge three from the right corner. This time, he's spotting up at the top of the key, Great find there by Andrew Nicholas. Max DeLeo lines it up, takes his time, and knocks it down with confidence.
8:21 to go in our second half. Guys, John Dunn takes a timeout.
Certainly doesn't shoot him nearly as much as he used to from last year, but is starting to get a little bit better at consistently knocking them down and add that element back to his game.
8:21 to go in our second half. We'll keep things on the floor. That John Dunn timeout has been extended full. Under 8 next whistle will give us the media timeout, so that'll allow us the chance to continue to look at this game. Guys, how big was that Max DeLeo 3? St. Peter's has cut it to 4. Matt, you said it. Max has struggled shooting the 3 all season. He's also struggled from the line, too, but he had time to set the feet square up. It's a big shot. In this game, 7 points is a pretty decent advantage.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. You get a couple of 3-pointers now out of DeLeo, and I think it's just about... You know, I look at him and I see the resemblance of a guy like Colin Stewart. It's all about confidence for a guy like DeLeo. For whatever reason, struggled early on in the year, but if he can get that shot going, Steve, now the next couple of games and into the tournament, it adds a whole different element because you can see teams, they've noticed that he's not shooting, so they're playing off him and he's going to get some open looks.
Last year he was so consistent and so good from 3. If he can bring that back into his repertoire, then he is just such an asset on the offensive end because we know what he does defensively. I love when King Rice goes to the 2-3 zone. A big reason why the 2-3 zone is so effective is because Max DeLeo's up high guarding, and he causes so many problems, and he can contest shots, and he gets his hands in passing lanes. So that's the defensive end. If Max can hit outside consistently, then his value to the team just skyrockets because we know how much he does as a winner.
Monmouth up by 7. We're going to take one quick look at the out-of-town scores. In Albany, Canisius leads Siena 51-50. 6:24 to go second half. Up in Fairfield, guys, just as low scoring as this one. Niagara leads the Stags 37-35. 7.5 to go there. And in Lawrenceville, watch out for Quinnipiac. They've cut it to 66-59. 8 minutes to go in the second half.
Crazy run towards the end of the season. Everyone trying to figure out where they will be come tournament time.
Justin Robinson was on the bench for a few minutes there. Monmouth extends their lead without him on the floor.
That's key. That is key because now Robinson back in as St. Peter's controls, ticking down towards the 8-minute mark. Dribble weave action, top of the key for the Peacocks. White, top of the key, 18 on the shot clock. Monmouth into that man defense this possession. As Gaskins has it top of the key. 10 on the shot clock. Under 8 to go. Double team. Nicholas takes it away from him. Throw ahead to Deion Jones. Jones to the rim. Good! And the foul! Deion Jones will have a chance for 3 with Monmouth in front by 9 after the 8-minute timeout.
That starts when defense leads to offense. Nicholas did a great job recognizing he could come out and create that double. Good active hands, not even close to a foul, created a clean steal, and the great finish by Jones, plus 1.
I love the finish, like you said, Matt. Deion Jones going strong to the rim, not only getting fouled, but also finishing the play, now going to the line for 3.
Hawks in front, 42-33. Deion Jones will try to give Monmouth an even 10-point lead as we go to timeout. Presented by ShopMonmouthHawks.com. Get your fully custom Monmouth gear in one place. ShopMonmouthHawks.com. MU up 9, 7:50 to go. Back in 60 seconds on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
Follow Monmouth Hawks basketball all season long on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310. And WOBMAM.com.
Scala's Pizzeria is a proud supporter of the Monmouth Hawks. Give them a call at 732-222-8728 or visit them online at scalaspizzeria.com.
Got to really like what Monmouth has done so far as we're at the under 8 media timeout, up 42-33, trying to extend that lead out a little bit and getting just enough consistent shooting, especially here in the second half, where if you look at their numbers, 6 of 11 overall in the second half, close to 55%. Steve, that's going to win you a ton of ball games, especially when you play a team like St. Peter's.
Very impressive for Monmouth to be shooting such a high percentage against a team like St. Peter's, who's so good defensively. How about Marvin Dominique and his games against the Monmouth Hawks? 1 for 10 in West Long Branch. He's 2 of 7 in this game. And then Desi Washington, with the exception of that 3-pointer in the corner, he's kind of been silent. It's really been Kadir Welton who's been very, very good for them. Credit the Monmouth defense.
Deion Jones converts that three-point play. He puts Monmouth up by an even 10. Deion now with 13, the game's high score, and almost another Monmouth forced turnover as Austin Tillman got a hand on it. It was saved in bounds to Desi Washington, who buries the three, and it's a seven-point game.
Right on cue, there's Desi Washington. Johnny on the spot just hitting that shot just as Monmouth was playing good defense, almost created a turnover. Washington makes him pay.
Yeah, just an unfortunate play. Tillman got his hand in the passing lane, tried to save the ball, and then, you know, by saving the ball, took himself out of the play for a second, which left Washington open, but just really an unfortunate play for the Hawks.
Washington now at 9 points, under seven to go. Nicholas down low, finishes with a left hand, tough move around Marvin Dominique.
I love when Nicholas gets involved down low. He's always been known as an outside shooter, but that little post game has come a long way.
Monmouth in front, 45-36. Back to the zone against St. Peter's. Washington throws to Fields on the left wing. They swing it along the right wing to Weiss. Peacock moving it around. Washington to the floater is up and in.
And this is what you worry about. Desi Washington getting going just like he did in West Long Branch. Coach Rice had some words there with Justin Robinson about keeping Desi Washington in front. Washington blew by J-Rob that time.
Washington into double figures with 11. 6:10 to go in a quick moving second half. Robinson gets his instructions from Coach Rice. He'll back up 12 on the shot clock. Left hand dribble in front of us on the left wing. Screen and roll with Nicholas, top of the key. Robinson up with Dominique on him. Drives to the floater. It's short. Deflected ball out of bounds off of Monmouth. Under six to go. St. Peter's gets it back.
It was reminiscent to me of sets that Monmouth ran early in the season. Just complete isolation for Justin Robinson. I think Monmouth has been better off tonight, Steve, when they've worked the ball around and had multiple touches from multiple players. It seems to not confuse St. Peter's, but certainly opened up the doors for some more options offensively.
Yeah, I agree. That was basically a Justin Robinson possession. It went screen and roll and then couldn't get anything out of it. Good defense there by the Peacocks.
Austin Tillman out, Max DeLeo in. You assume for defensive purposes to eye Washington up. Dominique to the basket. Blocking foul called on Andrew Nicholas with 5:38 to go in the second half. Monmouth leads 45-38 as I think they say active shooting. So Dominique with two free throws. I'm going to check the replay to our left.
My initial reaction to looking at that is maybe that Dominique got away with a travel actually before he went up. Not even so much more the block charge. Looks like they won't pop anything up in terms of a replay. But less than six ago, you're watching a St. Peter's basketball game for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
I actually thought it was a good call, guys. I thought Marvin Dominique did a good job of using that Euro step, and Nicholas kind of slid underneath Dominique as he was moving around him. I thought it was a good call.
Also, and I didn't see it in real time, but Nicholas may have been in that restricted circle as well, as Dominique goes one out of two. 45-39, now our game, with 5 minutes, 35 seconds to go. Guys, this game has kind of quietly and quickly gotten into crunch time. 6-point game. Robinson has it top of the key, one-on-one with Weich. Dribble handoff, Deion Jones. Jones around the screen, driving kick to DeLeo. He pumps it three, gives to Nicholas, who's open for three. Can't get it to go, and the rebound is pulled down by Weich. It'll be a loose ball foul on Deion Jones. The seventh Monmouth foul will be 1-1 for Travis Weich with 5:15 remaining.
Well, that couldn't have worked out worse for Monmouth. Nicholas is wide open. Just pushed over top of the key. Wide open three that he couldn't knock down. And then you get Weiss, who's one of the smaller guys on the floor, able to knife his way down and grab a defensive rebound and get fouled on top of it.
You kind of know when you go to Jersey City, as Weiss knocks it down, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. The way St. Peter's plays, they're really never out of any game the way they play defensively. Weich had the ball in his hand for a second free throw. They blew a whistle. I think there's a wet spot on the floor. So they will... I'm going to call one of the... Well, there are no, like, ball boys. So I think they need to get something off the floor. 5:15 to go in our second half. Monmouth with 17 fouls. St. Peter's with 6. Hawks with 4 timeouts left. St. Peter's with 2. As there he is, the squeegee guy or whatever they're called. a little late getting on.
Eddie, I think it's time for Breece Cofani to come back into this ball game. Andrew Nicholas in his first game back from being out with the concussion. He's played a lot of minutes. He's played a decent game. He had that nice post-up move. Missed that open three just now. He's also got four assists in this game, does Andrew Nicholas. But I think Breece Cofani was playing a pretty decent game on the glass. 7 points, six rebounds. He's got three offensive rebounds. I'd like to see Breece Cofani come back in to reestablish that Mammoth size down low.
Yeah, guys, there's been an alarming amount of country songs that have played during this game. Steve, that could be a problem down the stretch.
I think it really plays a huge role into the outcome of this game, Eddie, is because, you know, it plays a part in momentum.
It's slowing me down. I know that.
Stuff is changing in Jersey City.
You are not kidding. Who's the DJ over there, Mr. Killington?
Buzz Killington?
Buzz, if you will. 5 minutes, 15 seconds to go, second half. They finally tended to the court issue. Weich is ready for his second free throw. Sophomore rattles it in. It's a four-point game, 45-41. It's almost like St. Peter's plays games, guys, in slow motion. But they do it effectively. Big possession here for Mammoth. Robinson throws it right wing to DeLeo. Return pass to Robinson. 5 minutes even to go in this game. Robinson has it poked away from behind, but it goes right to Jones with 15 on the shot clock. Deion Jones dribbling between the circles. One-on-one with Fields. Behind the back. Gets his man in the air. Robinson extra pass to DeLeo. Good closeout by Washington. DeLeo drives. His layup is good. What a move. He got a friendly bounce. Mammoth up 47-41.
Oh, what a possession for the Mammoth Hawks. DeLeo driving to his left hand. Rarely does that, but gets himself to the rim and then puts up the righty layup with some great spin on the ball to put it in.
Under 4.5 remaining. Hawks in front by 6. Washington, top of the key, around a Welton screen. Pull for a contested 2. Off back iron. Rebound comes down to Robinson. Hawks up 6. Robinson on the push. Finds Nicholas in transition. Down low he goes to Jones. And Deion Jones is fouled. And he'll go to the line for 2. Great ball movement by Mammoth.
That was a great look, too, by Nicholas, who in many circumstances could have easily taken a 3, but had already thought one pass ahead. Saw Jones just wide open on the baseline. And Deion with a good move to the basket to draw the foul.
A great pass by Andrew Nicholas. And Justin Robinson also threw a great pass. Deion Jones ran down the floor to basically the right short corner. And Justin Robinson first threw it to Andrew Nicholas on the right wing. And then the defense ran to him. And then Nicholas was able to make that extra pass.
There's the move to the bench that you called for as well, Steve, as Cofani has checked back in. So Mammoth will get a bit more athletic, we say, with the change at the 5.
Well, I actually thought Cofani would come in for Andrew Nicholas, too. So King Rice going with his senior. He's been out for a few games, but King Rice putting the trust in Andrew Nicholas, even though he's missed the last few with that concussion.
Jones' 2 free throws gives Mammoth a 49-41 game. Andrew Nicholas blocks Marvin Dominique back the other way. It's called an alternate tie-up. Mammoth will get it when we come back. 3:59 remaining. What a huge defensive play, and paying immediate dividends, leaving Nicholas in the game.
And as soon as we started talking about him, I watched them that whole defensive possession, and you saw just what a veteran can do. He waited and timed that run over to the ball perfectly, got the block, the tie-up, Mammoth possession.
Hawks in front, 49-41, 3:59 to go. We step out for the final media timeout. A 60-second pause here on the Shore Sports and Mammoth Digital Network.
Follow Mammoth Hawks basketball all season long on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
The Hawks would like to thank their premier sponsors this basketball season. World Subaru, Coca-Cola, McLoone's Restaurants, the Asbury Park Press, and Barnabas Health Mammoth Medical Center for their tremendous support throughout the season. Hawks in front of St. Peter's, 49-41, 3:59 to go. And despite the avalanche of country music, Matt, Mammoth still on top by 8.
You're so angry about the music.
We live in New Jersey.
All right, I mean, it is what it is, though.
It's every time out.
Well, I mean, make it file a complaint, fill out a form. I mean, what it, you know, well, you don't like the internet, you don't like the music.
Sorry, I'm down right now.
When we were at Fairfield, Matt, he wanted to go and get an autograph from the DJ.
The live DJ.
That was DJing a Fairfield game.
Yeah. Like you couldn't guess that.
Such problems.
Take this where you want now. So Monmouth's up 8. We get back to the action on the floor. Guys, St. Peter's had that little mini flurry, and it seems every time the Peacocks have gotten close, Monmouth's been able to, through their stops and through some clutch scoring, just keep them at arm's length, continuing to have, Steve, this 8-point lead.
Well, how about the stat line for Deion Jones tonight? 15 points, 6 of 10 shooting, 3 of 3 from the foul line. He's also got 2 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Well, he's really come to play. And then a lot of balanced scoring throughout the rest of the lineup. DeLeo, 8. Brees Cofani, 7. Justin Robinson, 7. Nicholas, 5. Colin Stewart, 4. So total team effort right now for the Hawks.
Nicholas, who inbounds here with St. Peter's, trapping Monmouth full court, also has 4 assists in this game. Nicholas almost got, I think he might have double dribbled there, but no call. Monmouth fortunate to keep it with 3:48 and counting. 8-point game. Justin Robinson dribbling top of the key. Around a Cofani screen. Robinson didn't like what he saw. Pulls it back out. 12 on the shot clock. Now 10. Robinson around the Cofani screen again. Over to Max DeLeo. Pumps it 3. Gets Washington in the air. Jumps the pass. Throws it over to Jones. Deion Jones inside the arc. Off the front iron. And loose ball foul will go against Monmouth. It'll go on Brees Cofani with 3:25 to go. St. Peter's will go to the line for 1-1.
Taking maybe a little bit too long, reminiscent of that one Robinson miss from earlier where the shot clock kind of wound down, Steve. I think Monmouth took a little bit too much time to set up what they really wanted to do. Once you get that down under 8 seconds, then everything feels like just a tad rushed when you look at the set.
Yeah, I thought St. Peter's played very good defense on the ball screen. Robinson had a couple that he had a chance to go with, but credit the Peacocks defense for getting in the lane and cutting him off, making him a passer.
Welton misses the front end of the 1-1, and then a loose ball foul is called on St. Peter's. They'll call it on Marvin Dominique with 3:25 to go in our second half. That'll put Monmouth at the line for 1-1. St. Peter's 8th team foul. His first foul will put Brees Cofani at the charity stripe. For the Peacocks
in the penalty. And we talked about it earlier on in the game, guys. If Monmouth could come out of here with a victory, and they go on the road a couple games back at Siena, very tough place to play, that's huge for this team and this program, and it really is starting to look like that. This hasn't been a very pretty game, but it really does look like that Monmouth's starting to trend upward again heading into MAC tournament play.
Cofani misses the front end. And back the other way, Desi Washington commits an offensive foul. He was going around a screen. Nicholas closed out. Washington bowled him over for the 9th foul on St. Peter's.
Well, what we question maybe as to how much Nicholas would play down the stretch here. Since we've talked about it, he's made play after play after play. And the good thing, they've all been defensively or with an extra pass that we saw earlier to Deion Jones.
Max DeLeo's tied up, or right before he could get tied up. Coach Rice calls a 30-second timeout. It'll be Monmouth ball. With 3:08 to go in the second half, it's 49-41 Hawks. And Matt, to further your point, because I think it deems furthering, Andrew Nicholas, first game back in quite a while, has not played in a long time due to that concussion. This is his first game since the Manhattan game way back when. He has played key minutes down the stretch. You said it, big defensive plays, couple of big shots in this game as well, and he might be that missing piece that Monmouth needs to, dare we say, make a run in March.
Well, he's got what a lot of guys don't have. He's got some veteran leadership. I think he's got some moxie, too. He's never been afraid to shoot, and I think his defensive game and the other stuff now starting to come around a little bit, too, and it's really excelled during the course of his senior year. We've just seen a couple of big defensive plays. I think that is one aspect of his game that has gotten so much better over the last year or two, and that's what you need. You need guys who are in their last run to be able to kind of propel you along come conference tournament time.
Monmouth ball under 3 minutes to go with 15 on the shot clock. Robinson has it top of the key, being watched by Weich. Throws it on the left wing to Deion Jones. Jones around to Nicholas screen. Gets Dominique in the air. Jumps the pass. Has to throw to Nicholas. Catches in the corner with 3 seconds. Nicholas forces one up. In and out. DeLeo keeps the ball alive, but it goes out of bounds off Max DeLeo. St. Peter's will get it back with 2:40 left.
Deion Jones drove to the foul line. Jump stopped. Had a guy draped all over him. I thought he had DeLeo spotting up on the right corner, wide open. Instead went the opposite way.
Marvin Dominique steps into a three and knocks it down. That's a huge shot for Marvin Dominique, making this 49-44.
Now, they're so annoying to watch because they just stay in a game and then they make a couple of shots down the stretch just when you feel like you've got them on the ropes.
2:15 and counting. Hawks in need of a big bucket here, up five. This has been a Robinson time normally. He's got the ball. Calls for a screen. He's going to let the clock tick down a little more. 13 on the shot clock. Robinson uses the Kofani screen. Weitsch goes through it. Now he goes over the screen. Robinson drives around Welton. His floater is blocked. Deion Jones with the rebound, and he is fouled with 1:55 to go. Even though he didn't get the bucket, Robinson kept the play alive, Steve. And Deion Jones will have a couple of free throws as Desi Washington picks up his fourth foul.
Well, when you've got a lead and you've got Justin Robinson, what an asset it is to the Monmouth Hawks. Robinson comes off one ball screen, doesn't have anything. Kofani comes back and screens for him again, and then he's able to get into the lane, make something happen, draw the defense, and then Jones is able to get in for that rebound because the defense had collapsed on Justin Robinson driving.
Jones makes his first free throw, back to a two-possession game at 50-44. 1:55 left. Jones having himself a very nice game. Goes 2 for 2. Hawks back in front by 7. Another three-point shooter comes in for John Dunn. Hester comes in for Quadir Welton. Hester on the year, a 40% three-point shooter. Jamel Fields on the right wing around a Dominique screen, and a foul called on Brees Kofani. With 1:49 to go. I'm not going to say that's the worst time to pick up a foul, but it's definitely up there. As now Fields will go to the line for, I believe, 1-1.
He's got, I hate to say he's got to learn because he's an experienced guy, but he's got to learn. You can't pop out that hard off of a screen and create contact 35 feet away from the basket and not expect that you're going to get a whistle, especially at this point of the game.
It's just an inexcusable foul. Plus, he reached in as well to make it worse.
And Fields makes the front end of this 1-1. It's 51-45 now. Ugh. You want to make St. Peter's earn it from deep, and you're almost better at this point in the game. Telling Kofani, just turn your body and just go straight up.
And they're getting fouled. They're getting points from. Here's an offensive rebound.
Yeah, Welton pulled the rebound down, missed it. Deion Jones is down on the floor in a world of pain. The ball went out of bounds off Mamet. So with 1:45 to go, Jones holding his right hip. King Rice takes a timeout. Jones, I think, landed awkwardly as he battled Welton for the rebound. He does jog gingerly over to the bench. As the officials are going to, I believe, go to the monitor and check that just to make sure nothing malicious happens.
Deion was battling for position there and just went down hard on that right hip. What I was saying is that St. Peter's has gotten a lot of points by going to the foul line with the clock stopped. Rebound attempts where Monmouth has fouled them, they've gone and went to the foul line. And then here, Brees Kofani reaching in on a head screen, and then another foul shot attempt, and then Monmouth can't get the rebound. So with the exception of the Marvin Dominique three-pointer a couple possessions back, it seems like they're staying in the game through foul shots.
105 seconds left. Monmouth in front by 6. Deion Jones stays on the floor with Robinson, DeLeo, Kofani, and Nicholas. Stay tuned post-game. We will be joined by King Rice. We'll get his thoughts on his team's performance tonight. Monmouth looking to win its 16th game of the year and 12th game in league play. Fields inbounds to Dominique. He's double-teamed by DeLeo and Nicholas. Almost throws it away. Does throw it away. Washington on the out-of-bounds line. Could not keep it in. And another forced turnover. We'll give it back to Monmouth.
That's just a killer possession there. First St. Peter's. Monmouth likes to go to that zone look. Baseline out-of-bounds. If you catch the ball in the corner, you better be getting ready for a trap. Monmouth did a great job trapping.
Now Monmouth will inbound. St. Peter's is going to pressure Monmouth all over the floor. They got to force turnovers with 1:35 to go. Deion Jones brings it up. He'll throw it now to Robinson. He'll move it over to Nicholas. Monmouth moving the ball well with now 90 seconds and counting to go. Max DeLeo's going to drive. Now pick up his dribble. Trapped in the corner. Nowhere to go with it. Still nowhere to go with it. And is it a timeout or a five count? They give King Rice a timeout with 1:22 to go. Probably not the best thing to just dribble into the corner when teams are double teaming everywhere as it's 30-second timeout. Will come with 16 on the shot clock for Monmouth.
A good timeout there by King Rice with Max DeLeo trapped. John Dunn has been unhappy with the refereeing
all night, and I feel like he's on his last nerve. And if this game gets out of hand, I can actually see him earning a technical just to make a point here. But he's not been happy with the officiating. A good timeout by King Rice because Max was trapped, and that had turnover written all over it.
Awesome job, I thought, in that last possession of Weish denying Robinson the ball after he got rid of it. You know, Robinson tried to go back, tried to get over to the corner. Weish wouldn't allow it at all, and obviously that's the story for Monmouth. Try to keep it in Justin Robinson's hands down the stretch here. Real good defensive job by Travis Weish.
1:22 remaining. Monmouth will inbound. Same five on the floor. Leading by six, 51-45. Andrew Nicholas to inbound. Not really under the basket, not really on the baseline, kind of in an odd angle. Throws it all the way in the backcourt to Max DeLeo. 14 and counting on the shot clock. They're denying Robinson the ball, so DeLeo will go to Deion Jones with 7 on the clock. Jones drives on field, pulls up at the foul line, put it in! Huge shot for Deion Jones!
Fields knew Jones was going to his right hand, tried to force the push-off call. I think he should have just went down and flopped. He might have gotten the call.
Desi Washington for three. Oh, man, he is money. Late in the game, his three makes this 53-48, 57.2 seconds to go. And John Dunn, Steve, again, all over the officials.
And he's calling for that Deion Jones push-off. I really believe if Fields went down, he would have gotten the call. And then Jones is able to just pull up and shoot the ball right in his face. Great shot by Deion Jones. Desi Washington, my goodness.
Now, Washington is a guy who's worth the price of admission, but you only have to get here for the second half because that's when he really starts to heat things up. First half, not to say that he doesn't play well in games, but, boy, as the game goes on, you know if the ball's in his hands. Every time it leaves it, you're waiting for it to go in because a good chunk of the times as the game goes on and crunch time starts, it finds its way into the basket.
Hey, well, here's my question. Defensively, what do you do? Do you face guard? Do you just take away airspace? You not let him catch the ball, Steve? What do you do?
Well, it looked to me that they went dribble handoff there, so I would just trap the dribble handoff and try to make him give up the ball.
57 seconds left. Nicholas will inbound. He's got to get it in, and a five count is called. That turnover will give it back to St. Peter's. Monmouth leads by five. That'll get Brees Kofani back into the game. He was out for Austin Tillman. He'll come back in for defensive purposes. Quick five count, but nevertheless, St. Peter's now with a chance.
Well, that's why you work officials, and John Dunn's been doing that all night. A little bit of a quick count, but he gets the call.
And now St. Peter's can't inbound it, so Fields has to take their final timeout with 57.2 seconds to go.
This will be a
60-second timeout. Guys, less than 1 minute remaining. St. Peter's down to Monmouth, 53-48. Not an area where you need a three by any stretch. Knowing what we know now, that John Dunn is kind of working the officials. When Monmouth has the ball, if Deion Jones extends the arm again, that's getting called. Conversely, on this end of the floor, is it Desi Washington's game to lose, or does John Dunn now maybe go somewhere else? Maybe you go to Marvin Dominique knowing Monmouth may key and double Washington.
Well, I think Washington is option one and option two, and then everybody else is option three after that. I think you find a way to get him the basketball, and I don't necessarily think it has to start with him off of the inbound. I think if you can set something up, get him off of a screen real quick, that's probably best case scenario. If not, find Weish and then set a secondary screen for Washington that he can curl around. One thing that we know about him, he doesn't need a whole lot of space or a whole lot of time to catch and shoot. So you don't have to do much. Just give somebody a little rub. Let him come off, pop something. No, you don't need a three. But I do think maybe for St. Peter's, I think it's their best option right now because as good as Marvin Dominique is, he hasn't been great here tonight. So go with the guy that you know can do it down the stretch. And to me, that's Desi Washington.
I think also that if St. Peter's does score, they don't need to foul. If they score with 40 seconds or more left in this game, I actually think you can play that out, believe it or not. Some people like to extend the game. I believe in relying on your defense, which is St. Peter's strong point.
Jamel Fields will inbound under their basket. Still looking. Has to throw all the way in the backcourt. Robinson takes it away. Robinson with a steal. He lays it in. What a play by Justin Robinson.
Well, Monmouth loves to play that zone defense. Baseline out of bounds. They make you throw it long. Robinson steals it.
And then Washington to the rim. Kofani throws it out of bounds. Huge block from Kofani. Monmouth making winning plays down the stretch up 7 with 46 seconds to go.
St. Peter's is too well coached to have that off of a timeout. That was a horrendous inbound situation.
Dominique is fouled on the inbound with 44 seconds left. Max DeLeo picks up that foul.
I mean, you're down 5, Steve, and you're basically throwing a 50-50 Hail Mary type pass into the backcourt 3/4 of the way back. I'm stunned by just what we just watched right there.
You got to credit the Monmouth defense. Baseline out of bounds. They play that zone. They don't want to give up layups, and a lot of times they force you to throw it long. This time, Justin Robinson just was in the right place. He was guarding Desi Washington, basically face guarding him, and he intercepted that pass and went down and scored. I credit the Monmouth coaching staff, too. That's a great job by them, and I got to assume that if you're John Dunn, you know that that defense is coming, and you got to have something prepared for it.
Dominique misses his first free throw. I was just going to say, a coach the caliber of John Dunn doesn't call timeout to get what just happened. Is Dominique misses both free throws, and then Deion Jones is fouled by Chaz Patterson with 42 seconds to go, and Monmouth up 7.
Well, I think you can ice it here from the free throw line. You make both, you create a full 3-possession game, which is a great set of circumstances here for Monmouth. St. Peter's has completely faltered down the stretch here.
I don't think this should be understated, guys. It has not been a pretty game. There's been over 20 fouls called in the second half. This has been a great performance by the Monmouth Hawks on the road. Coming out here, battling this game, battling this team and their style of play. Coming out of here with a victory, presumed victory here with 42 seconds. But great, great job by the Monmouth Hawks.
Deion Jones made foul shot number 1. It's an 8-point Monmouth lead. I'll tell you, Justin Robinson has a little free safety in him. That play, that interception and basket was huge as Jones gives Monmouth a 9-point lead, 57-48. Washington runs it into the front court. His three-pointer is good. Of course it is. He is ice cold ice, or rather ice water in his veins. Monmouth inbounds to Robinson. Robinson loses it. Washington and DeLeo go for it. Loose ball foul. No. A travel is called on Max DeLeo with 32 seconds left.
A lot of contact there on Robinson and on DeLeo as he came up with that loose ball. But again, those calls are going to go St. Peter's way here towards the end of this game. But Monmouth just has to play strong D and get a stop.
Weitsch to inbound. No timeouts for St. Peter's. He gets it into Fields. Fields drives on Robinson, and he is fouled with 28 seconds left. It'll be 2 free throws for Jamel Fields with Monmouth in front, 57-51.
And St. Peter's has done well here. Obviously, the 3 by Washington, and then Fields with pretty good recognition of realizing, okay, maybe we don't need a 3. Let's try to get to the rim and at least stop the clock. You can score while the clock is stopped. It's pretty solid tactic by St. Peter's. Now, I do wonder here, as he makes the first one, are you thinking maybe of an intentional miss that you try and keep the extra possession alive?
I would make it, and I would just press up and try to get a steal on the inbound. Maybe one trap right away, and then once Monmouth breaks it, then you would foul.
Fields makes them both, 57-53. So don't go anywhere just yet. This game not over. Kofani out, Austin Tillman in. 5-guard lineup for Monmouth. 5 free throw shooters. Nicholas will inbound. Monmouth has had a tough time just even inbounding the ball. Nicholas gets it into Robinson, fouled immediately. 28 seconds left. He'll go to the line for 2. Weitsch picks up that foul. This is a, and we've kind of said it all game, St. Peter's, with what they do, it's never easy to come in here and win. And guys, even this game won't end. It was flying till about, 10 minutes ago. As now Robinson goes to the line for a couple.
I mean, he's the guy that you want taking free throws at the end of the game. One of the better ones in the league. Top 10 in free throw percentage. Over 80%. Never seems to be bothered by any late game situations.
He made the first one. Second one, too. The 80% free throw shooter puts Monmouth up by 6. 28 seconds remain. Monmouth going to pressure full now. Inbound into Fields. He catches it with a head of steam. Kicks it over to Hester. His three is an air ball. Loose ball down low. Bodies go to the floor. Robinson had it. DeLeo has it. And DeLeo is absolutely decked on the floor. He is hammered by White, who just falls on him with 17 and a half seconds left. Up six, under 18 to go.
Very physical play at the end there. Kofani was getting held on the rebound by Dominique. Somehow the ball ends up in Max Leo's arms on the ground. And then, like you said it, Weiss went and basically tackled him. DeLeo gets right up, gets to the foul line here, and hopefully he can bang these two in.
Makes the first one, back to a seven-point lead. You know, it's funny, no lead, obviously, around St. Peter's is safe with Desi Washington, as DeLeo makes them both, but eight-point advantage with 17 and a half seconds left. You think it looks pretty comfortable. I'm going to knock on the wood that Press Rose made out of. St. Peter's runs it into the front court, and Hester is fouled, taking a three. Andrew Nicholas fouls him. I don't know if I buy that one with 12.4 seconds.
He fouled him. I completely agree with the call. He fouled him. Andrew Nicholas didn't leave his feet on the ball fake, but he kind of just, his momentum just carried him in to Hester, and he bumped him as he shot him. I think it's a good call.
The officials are going to go to the monitor and see if it was a three or a two. So, Steve, maybe not the contact, but the positioning by Nicholas, you're saying the reason that he got called for that foul. He shouldn't be anywhere near that guy then.
He closed out strong. He didn't leave his feet on the ball fake, but his momentum just basically carried him into Hester. Hester leaned a little bit, and it was the slightest contact. I understand that. But again, with the way John Dunn's been working the officials, there was a little bit of contact. So I get the call. I really do. And I think Nicholas has to know better to just not be that close to him, close him out, and then control it and not touch him.
I've been watching the replay, and from where I am, not right up smack next to the TV, when you say slightest contact, I mean slightest contact. There wasn't a whole lot there, but it will be three free throws for Hester.
No surprise to me that St. Peter's has gotten every call late in this game because of the way John Dunn has been working the officials all game long.
Monmouth in front, 61-53. Hester makes the first one. Two more coming. So this game is going to just continue, obviously, to be extended. It was, I'll tell you, as Hester makes a second, we were flying before time-wise. This game, the last 5 minutes on the game clock, has really hit a tough spot. Hope you didn't have those dinner reservations for early tonight. Hester makes all three. It's 61-56. Monmouth still needs to obviously inbound the ball, make free throws in order to come out of the Yannatelli Center with the win. Nicholas throws over the top to Jones. He's fouled from behind by Patterson. 1 second ticks off the clock. 11.4 left.
I think two makes here from Deion Jones wraps this game up. And if I'm Monmouth, I drop back on defense. I stand in the lane, and I don't go near anyone shooting the ball. And when the shot goes in, you inbound the ball, you hold on to it strong, and you go back to the foul line. I think it's pretty simple, no?
Matt, I don't know about you. I second that notion.
It sounds good to me. It's got to start with making both free throws. Jones makes the first. You make the second, and you know you're back into that three-possession game. I would agree. Just retreat defensively and see how fast St. Peter's can get it up court.
Hawks up 62-56 after the first Deion Jones make. One more coming for the junior. Made them both. That should do it. Hawks in front, 63-56. Inbounds to Washington. Under eight to go now. His three is finally off the mark. Loose ball down low. White will make it with 1.5 seconds left. But it's 63-58. All Nicholas should have to do is inbound it. He gets it into DeLeo. The clock will expire. And Monmouth wins its 12th league game of the year. It equals the total, Steve, they had in the 05-06 season. Monmouth improves to 16-12 overall with a 63-58 hard-fought win over the Peacocks in Jersey City.
Deion Jones was phenomenal in this game. Really carried the scoring load for the Monmouth Hawks. And then everybody else played their role. Andrew Nicholas had a tremendous game. Not necessarily scoring the ball, but assist-wise, playing defense. Max Leo hit a huge three in the second half of this ball game, and of course, Justin Robinson made a lot of winning plays late. A great team effort by the Monmouth Hawks.
St. Peter's returns the action. Their final two games on the road at Fairfield and at Marist over the next couple of weeks. Actually, my mistake, before they finish up at home on March the 1st against Iona. Monmouth, Steve, their remaining games at Iona and then home for Ryder and Siena. But, gentlemen, St. Peter's falls to 13-15 and 7-10 in the league. Monmouth, a year after going 5-15 in the MAC, is now 16-12, 12-5 in the league, and wins another game, Matt, that last season they did not. They continue their upward trajectory, winning now four in a row in the MAC.
Well, and it's not going to get any easier come this weekend. Got Iona on the road on Sunday, and then you'll return home for what will be a huge game to start those last two games at home with Ryder. All of these games will have huge implications, but to me, more importantly, Monmouth stays alive and an opportunity to get that two or three seed in the upcoming MAC tournament, which if you look at the way that things could potentially lay out, that would be a huge step in the right direction. You might be able to avoid Iona, Manhattan, and Quinnipiac all the way to the final if you get into that situation. So for me, these wins, especially on the road, Monmouth has really, really grown up in the second part of the season.
We'll give you final game stats as well as take one last look at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard as we've begun our post-game show presented by Jersey Mike Subs. Visit the Jersey Mike's on the corner of Route 36 and Monmouth Road in Carriage Square today. Order online at jerseymikes.com. We step out for 60 seconds. We'll come back with the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, King Rice. Final game stats and out-of-town scores after this Monmouth 63-58 win, which you heard right here on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
We welcome you back on our Jersey Mike's postgame show. After Monmouth's 63-58 win over St. Peter's, we're happy to be joined by the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, King Rice, joining us just mere minutes after his team's big five-point win. And Coach Rice, congratulations on the win. Another win in a place that last year you did not win. Your team continues its solid play, now four wins in a row.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I have to give John Dunn a lot of credit, man. He does a great job. His kids fight. They run good stuff. And this time we are fortunate that we came out with the win. Every time we've played them, this is our fourth time. It's been great games. Well, not great games. A couple of them have been ugly. But competitive games. And tonight we were able to make them more plays down the stretch for us to get the win.
Well, Coach, you said it about maybe it being an ugly game, and that was something we talked about during the broadcast, is that maybe it wasn't pretty, but it's a great, great job by your team to come in here on the road after beating Siena on the road, and you come home and protect home floor, and then you come here and win this game. Just a great job by your kids.
Well, I have to say, Dwayne did a great job talking to me on the bench, just telling me, calm down, King. Calm down, King. Calm down, King. You're making it worse than it is. And I got a great staff. So he calmed me down. Ricky calmed me down. Brian and Sam. And we have great kids. And our kids are believing. And they're guarding. And tonight we made enough plays. Guys, I truly think we can still play better. Because we're guarding, but we're not playing that great on offense. And it's going to click at some point during this season.
How about Andrew Nicholas? He didn't have a huge scoring night, but coming back from the concussion, made a lot of winning plays, shared the ball. He had four assists tonight, had a block, and drew a jump ball. So just how about bringing him back as a senior and having his leadership on the
floor? Let me see how many minutes he played. 21. Well, just so you know, Red and I bumped heads tonight really, really hard because he took that three-pointer about 10 feet off the line earlier in the game before the half. And he heard from me a lot. But Red is a basketball player, and Red is one of the toughest competitors that we have on our in our program. He's been that for the 4 years he's been here. So when I got on him at halftime, some of the kids were looking like, whoa. And I really, really got into him. And then Red comes out in the second half, and he plays the right way, and he made so many winning plays. And I kept telling after every one, I know you know how to play basketball, Red. Know you know how to play basketball. It helps our team so much when he's on the court. I probably played him too many minutes tonight just because he's been out so long. But when you got a senior and it's February, yep, and he's been out, you can count. If I'm the coach, he's gonna play.
Coach, real quickly, two final thoughts from us. The first, Deion Jones. In a game in which no one had seemed to get it going offensively, Deion was 9 of 9 from the line. He scored 23. We know that Justin Robinson has taken games over. Deion kind of quietly did it tonight. Talk about, you really needed every one of his 23 points, especially down the stretch.
Well, I've been telling everybody, Deion's our best player, and we just need him to be more aggressive. I like his feel right now because he's not pressing. The thing about it, he's not pressing. 7 for 12, over 50% from the field, 9 for 9 from the line. That's why I want him to be aggressive because he scores the ball at a high clip at a great percentage. So if he's more aggressive and he takes more, he's probably going to make more. So Deion's one of the best guys in the league, and I hope that people can see that.
And, Coach, final point from us, and I know it's nothing you want to hear now, but I got to say, Monmouth now 12-5 in the MAC. It's the most league wins this program's had since the 05-06 season. I tell you that from an information standpoint, but also Steve and I and Matt on the broadcast, so impressed with the way your kids play and where this program is headed. Your thoughts on that as we wrap things up?
Well, guys, let me tell you, I'm very fortunate that I get to be the coach at Monmouth, okay? I've known that from the day I got the job. This would have been a harder year if Dr. McNeil didn't do what she did before the season, okay? It allowed me to calm down, coach my team, and not have to worry about what's going to happen after. So I have to give Dr. McNeil and the administration a lot of credit that they gave us a comfort zone a little bit by extending our contract. And I'm thankful, I'm honored, I'm humbled, and I'm going to continue to work, guys. This isn't where we wanted to be. We're going to work and get Monmouth to the top of the MAC and stay there. That's my goal, and I know that's been your goal and everybody there. So we're not stopping. It's just a start. But I'm thankful to Dr. McNeil, President Brown, and the staff and the administration for allowing me to be the coach, and Dr. McNeil understanding the pressures of this job and giving us an extension, our whole staff, before the season. So thank you to her.
Well, Coach, you could tell Dwayne, Ricky, whoever, you don't need a hotel room till Saturday at the MAC because you've clinched a bye to the Saturday quarterfinals in the MAC tournament. Congratulations on the win tonight.
Well, thank you so much. And it's funny because last year we were leaving before everybody got there. So that definitely feels good. And I definitely want to say hello to my wife, Summer. Her family, my family came, her mom and dad and Xander, but Summer had class at Monmouth. She's taking some classes, and she had class and has a three-year-old, so she didn't get to make the trip. So hello, Summer, and hello, Julian.
Coach, appreciate it. Congratulations.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
That's King Rice, the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, Steve. His team victorious tonight, 63-58, as we wrap up our Jersey Mike's post-game show. Like a lot of the thoughts that Coach was saying, and we know he's an emotional man. And you know what? When this team was building the last couple of years, you and I and other people around the program knew we'd be at this point one day, I think. 16-12. 12-5 in the MAC. You know what? If you saw that coming from this Monmouth team in preseason, you should probably go right to AC right now. But you know what? This team is playing hard. They're playing smart. They play together. And right now, they're all alone in third with an eye on second place in the MAC.
And I think King Rice and his staff deserve just so much credit for the way their team is playing and the way they've played all season long. And we talked about it during the broadcast about the defensive philosophy, how they made a switch defensively this year, and it's worked wonders, and they're one of the most improved defensive teams in the country, and it's really helped them get to the top of the MAC. And there's so much talent in the program, and talent that we haven't even seen on the floor yet that we will hopefully see next year. But right now it's all about this season and the way Monmouth's playing. They are certainly trending upward for MAC tournament play.
Steve, I'm going to go over final stats. I need you to start formulating your McLoone's player of the game. But I need to look at our final game stats presented by World Subaru, located on Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls. WorldSubaru.com. Monmouth led by Deion Jones, 23 points, places three Hawks in double figures. Justin Robinson adds 11, 10 for Max DeLeo, 7 points, 7 boards for Breeze Kofani. The Hawks shoot 50% in the second half. They ice the game from the line, going 17 out of 19. St. Peter's is led by 17 from Desi Washington, including 4 of 6 from three-point range, 11 for Quadir Welton, 10 and 7 for Marvin Dominique. The Hawks hold St. Peter's to 39.5% shooting. They outscore the Peacocks. It was so close in the second half, 38-35. It was Steve Mamet's points in the paint. They outscore St. Peter's down low 24-14, and they turn St. Peter's 17 turnovers into 17 points, and they get this win to improve to 16-12 overall, and 12-5 in the league. Is now Steve will award our McLoone's Player of the Game, which is presented by McLoone's Restaurants. Visit McLoone's.com for more information on all of their great restaurant locations.
Well, Player of the Game, Eddie, for me is Deion Jones, 7 of 12 from the floor, 9 of 9 from the foul line. He had 23 points, 4 rebounds, had 2 blocks, and also 1 steal on the night. But really, really played a nice game. And his foul shooting as well, very impressive job by Deion Jones. He's the player of the game.
Take a look at our upcoming game, Steve, presented by Coach USA. And it is on Sunday. Monmouth will go to first place Iona. As before we get into that, let's give one final look at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. You know Monmouth defeated St. Peter's 63-58. Big road win for Canisius. They win at Siena 69-63. Niagara hangs on, wins at Fairfield 55-53. And Ryder, in the only game of any offensive significance, beats Quinnipiac 94-83.
Well, now that puts Canisius at 9-8 and Quinnipiac at 8-9. So the 4-5 matchup right now is Manhattan versus Canisius, which means Quinnipiac is the 6-11, which means if they win and Monmouth's the 3, that Monmouth will be playing Quinnipiac in that round. So
let's hope that doesn't happen.
There's so much more basketball to be played left, so anything can happen. But as of right now, that's the way it's shaping out.
As we close things up, and we appreciate Harrison sticking with us, Steve, we're at Iona Sunday at 4 p.m. That tip here on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network. It's going to be a fun one.
That is going to be a fun one, and a lot of juice heading into that game with Monmouth on a 4-game winning streak.
Steve, as always, great job. And for my other broadcast partner, Matt Harmon, who you can catch an on-camera interview with Matt and Coach Rice on MonmouthHawks.com and YouTube.com/MonmouthHawks. We will say goodnight for Steve Bazzaz and Matt Harmon and our broadcast engineer, Harrison Strevens. I'm Eddie Acapinti. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast of Monmouth Men's Basketball. It's a Hawks win, 63-58 over St. Peter's. We'll catch you on Sunday at 4 p.m., and you'll hear that game as well as tonight's victory on your only spot for Monmouth Basketball, the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The Monmouth University Athletic Department would like to thank their sponsors for making this broadcast possible. Coke Zero. Zero means it's game day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Surf Taco, with 9 locations in Monmouth and Ocean County. Good food, good people, good vibe. And by RKE Athletic, helping outfit the Monmouth Hawks high school and rec teams. Route 71 in Wall. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics. For a complete schedule and more, visit MonmouthHawks.com.